Makers and Makers podcast brings the community to you. We talk to small business owners about work, life, and everything in between. Subscribe to Sellers and Makers podcast so you never miss an episode. Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers podcast, a place artisans can come together in community. Brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and
I'm Christina Schulman, and we are so excited to be talking with Jody of Greedy Stitches. Jody, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us today. We're so excited to just chat, get to know you a little bit better. Tell us, what is Greedy Stitches?
Well, Greedy Stitches now is mainly digitals. You know, we do the cut file, or I do cut files and printables. And I have also recently expanded into finished laser products, large format printing, like banners and wrapping paper and stuff like that. And also screen printing.
Okay, so you have a large variety of things that you offer. Tell me how you got in the industry in the first place. Where was your starting point?
Kids.
Yes. Starting point for many.
Yeah. I mean, I had always done some sort of craft, you know. I mean, grandmother always crafted, my mom always crafted. So, I mean, it would have been weird if I wouldn't have crafted. But, you know, the bows for the girls playing softball and all that stuff. And it just kind of took off from there, especially when, you know, you have four girls in the house and they all want their monogram on everything. So I was like, you know, I'm going to buy an embroidery machine. So bought the embroidery machine, and that, you know, went to the scan and cut. And then that, yeah.
The rest
one
is
thing led to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did it lead from I'm making stuff for my kiddos to now it's a business? Was that a gradual thing? Was that just, you know, a goal that you made happen, or what happened with that?
Well, I always sold physical products locally. I got a little tired of keeping up with stock or making sure I had certain color shirt and certain color sizes in stock. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to, plus, you know, I couldn't find exactly what I was looking for, vinyl wise. So, I just started drawing my own designs. And one day I was like, you know, I'm going to stick this in my Etsy shop and see how it does. And, it actually did pretty well. So that, is actually a good thing. I don't have to carry too many shirts anymore. You know, I still do it for us, but, you know, I prefer doing the digital stuff now.
Yes. No.
It's easier to send. That's for sure.
Yeah. No. So I completely understand that. It's hard to find stuff, especially even now more so. It's hard to make sure things are in stock and ready to ship and all of that. We're going through that right now.
This is before COVID, you know, and I think more people started realizing that during, you know, the whole COVID thing, you know, it's just some shirts are just hard to find. You want this certain brand and this certain color, but guess what? That color in that brand got discontinued 2 years ago. So I'm sorry, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
No, I understand. Yep. So you offer a whole bunch of stuff. Yes. Which one is your favorite? If you could pick one that you're like, I could do this every day, all day, what is that?
Always digital.
Digitals. Okay. So the actual drawing of them, or yeah.
All day long.
Okay. So how do you come up with your ideas?
Research, just, you know, check in, you know, staying in touch with the kids mainly. I mean, my youngest is 20 now, almost 21, but you know, just talk to her. All right. What's in style? You know, what's popular right now. And then, I mean, I'm on, you know, the socials and all that good stuff, but just keeping up with social media and seeing what's on trend and, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, I love that. And what's your process look like? So you get an idea and you sit down and draw it, yep. Then what? Do you immediately? Do you pop?
Almost immediately, yeah. If not, I'll forget to list it.
Yeah, Yes. Okay. And just curious for, I don't know, how long does it take you to like start to finish to draw something?
It really depends on what it is. Sometimes, like if it's a cuttable, like an SVG or something like that, I can knock it out within 30 minutes to an hour. And also, I'm drawing most of this myself. 95% of my designs, I do draw, minus the fonts. There's just too many fonts, you know, to buy. So, but I guess about 30 minutes to an hour on most. Now, my printables, sometimes those can take up to, you know, a full day. Because, I'm doing them from scratch. So, so they do take some time.
Okay. I was just curious. I've always wanted, like, I'm not an artist, by the way. I'm not an artist, but my mom is. And so, you know, I've talked to her and she's like, I could draw some things. And I'm like, yes, you could. I just don't know how that works.
Do you have any like training in drawing? Like, did you go to any sort of art school, or is it just a hobby that you've loved and, you know, now you're very lucky and get to do it for your job?
I've always drawn from the moment I remember picking up a pen or pencil, you know, 2 or 3 years old. I've always drawn or doodled. You know, study hall in 7th, 8th grade. What was I doing when I was doodling?
I got in trouble for doodling.
Yeah. luckily I didn't, because I was doing my work and the teacher liked me. So, but high school I took art. But yeah, I've pretty much drawn from the get go.
So it wasn't much of like a jump. It was a natural progression.
Exactly. Okay. The most difficulty I've had so far with it is I'm used to drawing on paper, you know, stuff like that. Now it's, you know, all digital. So I've had to adjust to drawing on a screen instead of paper.
Yeah, that seems like that would be a big jump. I am, and if you've listened to any of the other podcasts at all, I am a paper person. Like, I have to write lists. I have to have pen on paper, or else I like don't remember things. Like typing something out, I don't remember it. I gotta be pen on paper. So like for me, like I know it's not exactly the same, but it's still, I feel like that rhythm in drawing the pen on paper or pencil on paper is just like a whole different feeling, and changing over to digital is hard.
It is. And honestly, when I first started doing, that's what I was doing. I was drawing on pencil and paper and I was scanning it. Into the printer and uploading it into my software. But I don't know. Software has just come around it's easy when you get used to it.
Oh yeah. I'm sure once you get used to it, you got it. Yeah. But I would have been doing the same thing.
Yeah. It took me a while.
And then I'm sure you're losing time because you're scanning it. And then I'm sure you still have to make adjustments to it rather than just be doing it in real time on an iPad or a tablet.
Because when I was drawing on paper, I was just black and white pencil drawing, you know, and getting into the software, and you just got to start, you know, doing everything else. But back then it was taking me about all day on one. Now I just pick up my Surface and I just go.
Yes. Well, and I mean, obviously I don't do it, but I've heard people say that the technology now, it can almost feel like you're drawing on pen and paper. Some of them even make the sound of like the you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think that's awesome.
What's the software that you use?
I use Affinity Designer mainly. I use just about all of them, but I flop honestly between Affinity Designer, Corel Draw, and Inkscape of all things. Inkscape is one that I always recommend to everybody. Number one, it's free.
It's free.
It's more powerful than what most people, you know, think.
Yeah, I've dabbled in there a little bit, and I feel like it's intimidating when you first open it because there's like, whoa, you can do this. And I know it can do this, but I don't know how to do it. But sometimes, or at least the little bit that I dabbled, I was like, oh, well, it's actually not as difficult as I thought. Still difficult for me because my brain doesn't work that way. But for someone whose brain does work that way, I feel like it's not super user friendly. Like it's not that hard. I don't know. Not hard. Hard's not the right word. You just get the hang, right. If you practice, you could get the hang of it.
Yeah. Yes. Now I'm self-taught in Inkscape, but college-wise, I was a robotics engineering major. So, you know, we had, you know, CAD. We had to mess with CAD, Corel Draws, where I, you know, originally learned Corel Draw. Mm-hmm. You know, I had kids and put all that stuff down, and it just took me a minute to get reacquainted with Corel. But pretty much, if you know one software, you can pretty much figure out another one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It takes a little bit.
There's always a little.
Yeah, there's always a learning curve.
Most definitely.
Well, and one thing that we talk about a lot on these podcasts, that's what we're doing.
It is a system. We have to learn it.
Is that a lot of people are just intimidated to try anything, right? Mm-hmm. And just because you can doesn't mean you should. But if you have that desire to want to learn something new, try it. Like, don't be afraid.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that's what holds people back across the board, whether it's digitizing or cutting vinyl or actually creating the designs or the embroidery, whatever it is that you're doing or you want to do. Just because you've never done it doesn't mean you can't do it. And that's what I love about our community, is so many people's stories are similar. I started because of my kiddos, or I started because I always loved to draw. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could do something that I love, and then now I make a living doing what I love, and that's amazing.
It is. I feel amazed every day. I mean, I get to do this, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, I really like it. And even better is I do it from home.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like I said, all of our kids are out of the house now, but it was nice. It was nice when they were here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that more than anything is what we hear from most people that we talk with, is mm-hmm. that they wanted to start something that they could still be the parent that they want to be and have the flexibility and, you know, and their kids are home. Like, I feel like that's almost everybody is mm-hmm. saying, like, they started this out of a necessity because they wanted to make extra money, or, you know, they needed an income and their kids were home, and this was just, they already did it, or they decided to take the plunge and bought the machine. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's so inspiring to hear the stories and like where they are now.
Oh, yeah.
People are just beginning, and some people have had their shops for years. And I think it's really fun to hear that progression and that, you know, you can do it.
Right. And that's why we talk about encouraging you to try something, because we've seen the success stories, right? Like so many of people that actually took that first step years later are like, yeah, it was hard to start, but like now I get to do what I love.
Yeah. If it wouldn't have been for that embroidery machine, I don't know what I would be doing right now.
And it's funny because things change too over the years. You started with the embroidery machine for your kids' bows, and then you started selling the product, and now you're drawing, which is, while it's still in the same industry of decorating, I guess, they're two completely different things.
Yeah.
Here you are, and you started at one side, you're at another, but you listened, I guess, to your customers, to the things that were important to you, and you were able to change your business to mold into what you wanted it to be. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, I guess, when, do you remember what year it was when you started?
Oh my word.
No, that's okay. That's okay. And I just asked because there's been a lot of changes just in the world around us over the last couple of years. But if you've been around longer than that, I'm sure you've seen changes, whether it's social media changes or you know, things that maybe
websites just being easier, Etsy, or
things that have changed just from when you started. And I just wanted to talk about that. Just what sort of things have you seen that have kind of changed business wise from the beginning. Like
you made a huge impact.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
We just gonna put you on the spot. Sorry.
No, you're fine. There's just so many things, you know. I've always done some sort of crafting. You know, the girls played softball. They all three of them played softball, and you know, they all wanted special hair bows matching with the outfits and all that good stuff. I mean, and that was back in the 2004, 2005, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, software number one. There's just so much out there, you know, and even selling platforms. Yeah. There's not just Etsy anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. There's design bundles. There's Sofancy, and that's just the digital.
Yes. Well, and you have your own website too. Exactly. And I imagine you didn't have that when you very first started, or did you?
No. And that's one thing I regret. When I really started, I guess I started selling mainstream and promoting around 8, 9 years ago, something like that. I'm a late bloomer. I did not want to make a website.
A lot of people don't, you know.
my Facebook group and my website's less than 2 years old. It's just one of those things where I didn't have time. I was trying to get my portfolio built up. You know, Etsy was enough for me at the time. And then, you know, it's just more avenues, you know. I can do what I want on the website, pretty much. Right. So,
right.
I have more control there than I do on the platform. So.
Yeah. No, right. I mean, there's a lot of people that start on Etsy and then that progresses to maybe I should have my Facebook page or my group, and so that I'm growing my Etsy audience while I'm growing my social media mm-hmm. audience, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or whatever platform or all the platforms, whatever you choose. Mm-hmm. And then that typically, from what I've seen, does progress to a website from there, because you, like you said, you do have more control, right? Mm-hmm. And you are able to build your social media from your following on Etsy, and you can build your Etsy audience from your following on social media. And then typically you can push them to your website, and now they know, oops, trying to make my computer fall over. But now they know where to find you, and then they can go back directly to you.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I mean, don't have all your eggs in one basket.
my thing was just the time, you know. Yes. You know, and I begged for somebody, just build my website, just do it. And finally, you know, I was like, you know what, I'll just do it myself. Mm-hmm. But it's just, my thing was the time. So
yeah, it's a lot of work, right, when you start from scratch. And I feel like, at least for me, when I had started on Etsy, like creating one listing wasn't the problem, right? It's when you're having to create so many. And so when I first started on Etsy, I had like a couple. And mm-hmm. then as I made more products, I had a couple more, and my, you know, offerings just grew and grew. But then by the time I got off of Etsy, I was like, I have all these things, and now I have to rebuild each one. Mm-hmm. To sit down and do all of them at one time is a daunting task. Well, while it didn't feel that way so much when I was setting up Etsy, because I did it a couple at a time.
Yeah.
But I loved Etsy when I was there. I just.
Oh, yeah. I do well on Etsy. I still love Etsy. It's just, like I said, I just regret not doing the website sooner. Because by the time I started the website, you know, like 2 years ago, it's aggravating. Uploading almost 3,000 digitals, you know?
Yeah, so.
For sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean.
What platform did you decide to use for your website?
Shopify. You I was between Wix and Shopify and decided on the Shopify. And yeah. Mainly because, I knew how to do it. I had a photography website on Wix. It was easy. But as the a selling platform, I liked what Shopify offered more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and Shopify's pretty user-friendly, you know?
Yeah. If you forward.
Yeah, if you've never built a website, it's pretty easy. And from what I've never had a Wix website, but I've heard from other customers that do have it, they say it's fairly easy as well. But also for plugins and like extras and stuff, Shopify has like a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Right here at your fingertips.
And it goes in to, I guess it's the plugins, but it'll go more
you can integrate.
People integrate with Shopify. Like I see it on everything that we're doing. It's like, oh, if you have Shopify, you can just click here. If you have anything else, good luck. Right.
Yeah. So our website for my wife's company is on BigCommerce. Mm-hmm. And we chose BigCommerce over Shopify for a couple of reasons. One of them being price. Another one was that to set up, because we have wholesale and retail, and to set up the wholesale side, it was easier. We could do that without plugins. At least I felt it was easier. They have customers and whatever. And so we went with BigCommerce for those reasons. And then after the fact, we see all these like, oh, well, you could do this with Shopify, but you can't do this with BigCommerce or, you know, reports or different things. And I'm like, but just like you, we're on this website, all of our history, all of our sales history and our customers. And yes, we can migrate that over. But at this point, I almost feel like it doesn't make sense to start over, because it's not just the product. It's all that sales history.
It's everything.
And like for you selling a digital product, if people don't download it right away, they need access to all those files.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that being a nightmare, you know, trying to like,
I don't know. It could be, but
it's a lot.
You know, I researched and thought, I was like, you know what, I'll try Shopify. And yeah, I mean, I ended up liking it, you know, I will have to tell anybody that is considering a Shopify, just watch those apps, you know, because you said price. Not all of the apps are free. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know I was browsing one of the small business type Facebook group, and somebody was asking a question about how do you get your Shopify bill down under $100? And I was like, what? I couldn't get over that they were paying a monthly fee with a basic, you know, the $30 a month plan. But their bill with apps was over $100. I just couldn't get over it.
I mean, it's expensive. I mean, and we went with BigCommerce over Shopify for the price, not so much the monthly price.
Yeah.
Because in order to do what we needed it to do, we had to take the top tier for Shopify or for BigCommerce. And I can't remember what that tier was, how much it costs anymore, because that was years ago now. But the BigCommerce price, the thing is you have like a base price, right? You have a base price, but then they also charge for any credit card processing that's done through the site. You can do through Shopify and through PayPal. PayPal has fees. If you do it through Shopify, they have fees. Yep. And so the BigCommerce fee was less than the Shopify fee. And so when I started adding that up, it was like significantly less monthly for what we were doing. Mm-hmm. However, what I didn't know, fine print, was BigCommerce, when you got to a certain sales level, they bumped you up. So you make more money. Now I have to pay more money. And then you make more money, and then you have to pay even more money. And so that was like a big shock. So read the fine print.
Yep.
All y'all, read the fine print. Now we're on an enterprise level something so that it stays the same and it's different. But if you don't pay attention to those add-ons and those little things like the fees for your for your credit card processing, or, you know, I need this for shipping, or I need that. It can add up like real fast.
Oh, and yeah. Your profit big time.
It does. It does. Especially, you know, when you're selling, like, you're selling a digital product. It's not a $50 product, you know, where you're making a huge profit every time. Those fees, when they add up, it's like,
yeah,
that profit goes away.
Yeah, definitely. Just this one thing I do recommend, just watch it. Like, just read the fine print and watch the add-ons, and, you know.
But you can do it, and you should do it. Yeah. Like you said, you wish that you would have done it sooner. I think sometimes you just need to pay attention mm-hmm. to what it is. Because sometimes, too, there's two plugins that you can add in. One yeah. of them's free, one of them's not. And they do the same thing.
Exactly. And,
you know, you don't have to go with one just because it's there.
Yep.
You can do your research and find something. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. You can find a workaround.
Exactly. Yeah. I completely agree. Yep.
Yes.
There's just so much. I definitely understand people getting hesitant about doing a website. And then maybe they just say, oh, stick with Etsy or whatever. Because especially if it's not something that they're familiar with at all.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about feeling bamboozled. Like, that's a lot coming after you.
Like, it's a lot to learn.
Yeah. But
just like you said, I wish I would have done it sooner.
Yeah.
It shouldn't
stop you.
Most people that I talk to feel the same way. Again, it's that I'm afraid to start. I'm afraid to do something because it's new.
Well, my thing was, you know, I didn't know if my digitals would take off. To be honest, you know, I was like, well, you know, I'll do this for, you know, a little while. And if they don't do well, then, you know, whatever. I'm not out anything, you know.
Right.
I'll just go back to embroidery and, you know, stuff like that. But, man, did it take off. I was surprised. So it's one of those things where, I just kept pumping stuff out.
Yeah, you almost had to.
Yeah. Nonstop, you know, I was constantly pumping stuff out. And then I just was like, man, I just don't want to upload 2,000, 3,000.
Yeah.
Digits, you know, but, and then also, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I do not do, public anything. I mean, not just cause I'm super shy. There until about maybe 6-7 months ago, nobody knew Jody Sykes on Greedy Stitches. I did everything under Greedy Stitches.
Mm-hmm.
It was under my name. So that was another thing, you know, that I kind of regret too, because I wouldn't promote.
Yes.
In some of these Facebook groups and stuff, you have to share under your name, and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Or if I can't get in there under my business name, I wouldn't promote.
So how did you move past that? When you did, like, just one day, was it like an accident and you're like, oh, there's my name.
You didn't need to do that.
In my Facebook group, okay, I didn't even make myself an admin. Greedy Stitches was an admin, so I'd go in there and share everything under Greedy Stitches. Well, nothing was being seen, nothing. You know, I was not getting the reach that I should have been getting. So I was like, you know what, let me just see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I posted under my name, man, the reach just went, it just went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, well,
yeah,
I guess that's what it's gonna be, so.
I have to do this now. Yeah, no, I completely understand. Mm-hmm. Completely understand. Right. I remember the first time I did, like, actually my first where people saw my face, like, I was gonna go live and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go live. I'm going to do it. And I got myself so worked up and, like, sick about it. I ended up doing, like, a pre-recorded video the first time because I was like, I can't do it. I can't go live. I can't do it. And I still, not going to lie, I still, when it's live, like, I still have to kind of work myself up. But it's not as bad as it, I mean, seriously, it was like the first many times I was like, I'm gonna be sick. I have to be sick. Like, maybe I need a glass of wine. Cause
In fact, I told my husband about this. I completely forgot about it. And I was telling him, I was like, oh yeah. I looked at my schedule on my phone or something popped up. I was like, oh man, I got a podcast I got to go record this week. He's like, do what? He's like, you're going to be videoed, you know, on a podcast?
Yes.
Like, I mean, you know, should I make a cocktail beforehand or what?
I mean,
we've done it before.
It's fine. The first podcast, yes, I remember being like, Hope. And she was like, no, we have a date. You said you wanted to do the first podcast by this date. We're doing it. And I'm like, we can push it back. No. Okay. Make it a cocktail. We're going to get through this.
Right.
Yes. And sometimes, but you, like you said, when you put yourself out of that comfort zone,
things happen.
People want to see you again and again. They want to shop with people they know that they can relate to, that there is an actual person. And you know what I notice too, when people see you, even like they're less likely to be mean, at least from what I've seen. Like, you know, if they don't know who you are and you're just a company, they're gonna be like, nah. I'm like, if you accidentally make some sort of mistake, like they're mad and they'll like they have no problem telling you, but they're maybe not all the time. There's always someone, but they are less likely to come at you if they know you're an actual person. Like, this is a family business. This is a small business and I'm doing everything I can. Let's talk about it. How can I make it better for you? And they see you say that, they're like, oh, okay, thank you.
Make it more personable. Yep.
I'm an actual person, you know? So not always, but
it does help. And I feel like people, you know, since so many people shop online now, it still gives you that small business, brick and mortar. I'm going into the store and I know the people that work there. I know the owner. Like, it still gives you that feeling. And the thing is when you're putting your face out there and putting yourself out there, then you can also be like, you know, we call out to people that are our customers all the time or attendees for the show or whatever, because we know their names. Or like, hey, I saw your email. Like, I'm getting to that. I'm sorry. Or whatever, because we do know, we are the people behind everything you see on social media or Facebook or the website or whatever. Like, we're the people behind it. And we do see it. It's not a robot that's transmitting. I mean, sometimes it is a robot that you get an automatic reply, but then it comes from us after that.
the automatic reply from the Facebook.
That gives you a lot of that feeling of in person that I feel like, you know, you miss on those big stores. Like, you don't get that. I don't feel like that when I shop on Amazon.
You're not a number. You're a person.
Yeah, you're a person. And we know the people that shop with us or, you know, attend our shows or, you know, that type of stuff. And I feel like that makes it so personal.
Yeah.
And I miss, like, I mean, I don't go into enough stores anymore. I love shopping. And I miss going in person and knowing those people. Like, that used to be my favorite thing. Like, I'm a people person. Like, I need
to talk. Before Myrtle Beach, this lady called me to help her. Not Myrtle Beach. Was it? I don't know. One of the shows. They're all going like this. But before, I actually think it was Chattanooga. Before Chattanooga, this lady called me and she had a question with tickets. And she'd signed up for several, but one was done twice. And we straightened that out. And she was so fun on the phone. And then she called back because she wanted to add some more classes. And so we chatted a couple times on the phone. And by the end of that phone call, I was like, you better find me at the show because I want to be your friend. And man, she did, you know, and I just hugged her face and she was like, she's like, this is so much fun. And, you know, she went to the show by herself, you know, but she left with friends because that's what it was. Like it was, she had that energy and I wanted to be her friend. And I was like, I want to be your neighbor. Can you just come home with me? And she was just a cute little lady and I just wanted to take her home, put her in my pocket. Anytime I'm having a bad day, be like, you make me smile. Can you tell me a joke, please? Oh, man. Anyway, that's a note. I need to calm down on the caffeine.
Yeah, that happened to me and at the show in Biloxi, which I don't like being in the spotlight. And that's one of the reasons I've never, you know, applied to be a vendor, EM vendor. In fact, I had a customer try to talk me into it for Biloxi. I was like, nah,
You're coming.
Yeah, this time, yes. But in Biloxi, I went to Biloxi. I took my daughter, and then my husband ended up showing up. Anyway, and this was before anybody knew Jody Sykes on Greedy Stitches. Well, we was walking around bebopping. I believe we were at your booth, to be honest, or your little area. But I was looking through those little pajamas. Some ladies come up and they're all talking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I got me some of them green ones yesterday. She was like, who are you?
Oh, you're like, wait, what?
I was like, Jody. She's like, who are you with? I was like, my daughter. She's like, no, your company. I was like, oh, Greedy Stitches. And come to find out, she'd been in my group. I'd been talking to her, I don't know how long. You know, one of the neatest little people I've ever met, you know. But yeah. I know how it is. Now we're friends.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun thing. You know, you talk to people, but you can't connect the same, or it's harder to connect online. Sometimes, I mean, putting your face out there, seeing their face, having a conversation back and forth makes it easier, much easier than just an email. Right. But at the shows, isn't that fun to be like, yes, I remember you. You remember me. And then year after year, when you go, you see that person again, and then they're doing something bigger or better or different. Maybe it's not bigger and better, but they've pivoted and now they're doing something and they love it so much. And I don't know.
That's the reason, you know, I decided, I was like, okay, I just need to, you know.
Hey, we can talk you into it. We'll talk you into it. I'm glad you're coming. I'm excited for you to come.
Yeah. I'm still not out of the shyness to, you know, to teach a class yet. Maybe one day.
Hey, baby steps. And you know what? Exactly. If you don't ever feel comfortable, that's fine. But I think you're going to enjoy it. People are there to see you, you know? Like, they get excited when they get to say, oh, my gosh, you drew that, and you're like, yes. And then you talk about it, and then it's a conversation. And while we're here, I feel like I should do a shameless plug for this, since we haven't even mentioned that. Shame on me. The next Everything Embroidery Market, if you guys are interested in coming, we would love, love, love to see you there. It's going to be in Lafayette, Louisiana, March 3rd through 5th. We may just throw a party because the 3rd is my birthday. Woo! anyway, if not, maybe I'll just do a dance for you guys. But okay, so back on, what's wrong with me? No more caffeine. Lafayette.
Are you sure it's caffeine this morning?
Well, I'm just excited because our shipment arrived this morning. And so that's where I'm at. Yes, no, nothing else, because I wouldn't be able to make it through the rest of my day. It's too early, but
I'm kidding.
Tonight, maybe. Anyway, Lafayette, Louisiana, it's going to be at the Cajun Dome. If by the time this podcast goes live, we should have registration already open. We already have our classes lined out. We already have the website filled with all of our vendors, all of the class schedule. Everything's there. We are literally just waiting on that ticketing link to go live. And so by the time this airs, it's there. So go to EEMshows.com www.thebrandingacademy.com. You can see a full list of all of our vendors. You can see a full list of all the classes. And you can, from the vendor page, you'll be able to click on Jody's website, go straight back to her website, see all the awesome designs that she has. And then when you get to the show, you can ask her questions and load up with all of your awesome designs. So I think that's it. Did I forget anything? Probably. I've been talking to you. I forgot everything. Anyways, I think we'll go ahead and end on that. Jody, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us. I'm so excited for you to come to Everything Embroidery Market in a few months to see you in person again. And
thanks for stepping out of your comfort zone for us. We hope we made it a little easy on you.
Y'all did.
Okay, so we'll just have to do this again. Maybe we make it like a weekly thing. She's like,
maybe not so much. Hey, it would help me. Trust me.
We could go live together in your group and just have a conversation. She's like, no. Okay, no pressure.
We talk about all sorts of random stuff.
Oh man. All right. Thank you so much, Jody. If you guys haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast so that you are up to date on the most recent podcast. And go to EEM shows, sign up, and we'll see you in Lafayette. Thank you so much.
Bye guys. Follow us at Everything Embroidery Market on Facebook and Instagram for all of our latest updates. We will see you next week.